Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Actually rolling out the first edition this week of Sports Time Radio, even though it is Wednesday. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so sure enough, one popped up over there this morning, so swing on by there, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man.
All right. Well, Dan, I guess it's kind of rolling along how we expected, as we're getting a lot of very late free agent signings, but no Trevor Bauer, because as much as Major League Baseball is attempting to, it looks like spring training is going to start on time. Are you surprised at all that they haven't been able to work anything out with the players' union to, you know, push it back like they want to?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. I think, you know, the hardest part is we don't get to see all the details they're doing.
Yeah.
That makes it difficult to really assess it. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised. And but, you know, the other thing about it, though, is the player standpoint, too, though. I mean, why bother going through with some of this stuff or even attempting to, knowing full well that negotiations are going to be happening again when the season's over? Right? Or is it the next year?
No, it's after this year. The CBA expires after this season. So they're definitely going to, you know, be going at it pretty much all season, I would guess.
You know, because what it almost seems like is, you know, and again, I said it before, I still think that the owners, you know, their side had to put something together to kind of shut up the media and kind of put it in the players' ball court so they don't have to hear about it. But I also think at the same time it was thrown out there just so it's thrown out there so everyone thinks it's, you know, a discussion topic and whatever. But I don't really think anything's going to be resolved until the CBA and, you know, shortening the season or, you know, expanding the playoffs. I mean, I forget who said it, but it takes away, you know, expanding the playoffs. It just takes away from the game, I think. I think
you said it,
you know,
didn't you?
Yeah, well, I wish I said it. It was someone else. But, you know, the other part of it is it's, you know, it's not with baseball and the way the playoffs are, it's not one of those this way because that's the way it's always been, because, you know, you've seen it changed. I you know, you saw maybe a change or two more than I did, where I still grew up with East-West, and then, you know, I mean, it was kind of a big deal when they divided up the divisions into three, you know, East, West, and Central. So, you know, it's not like it's been that way. What has it been that way since the 90s? So it's not one of those where I'm like, it's been this way, and this is the way it always should be, where you get a lot of arguments from people like that. Obviously with the DH and things of that sort. But I think this is one of the aspects of baseball that makes it so great, is that you don't have, you literally have the best of the best. That's the, and I'm not going to knock the NBA. It's their thing, and it's set up, and it works for them. But, I mean, let's be honest, between you and I, the casual fan, I mean, you've got 2 months of playoffs. Doesn't it get a little old? And I just, obviously, I don't think baseball is going to go that route, because if baseball went that route, then we'd be like the NFL with, you know, we'd never see a World Series in Chicago again if there was 2 months of playoffs. So I don't really see the need to go that route. I brought this up years ago, Big Jack, you and I discussed it, that if they wanted to expand the playoffs, I think the expansion should be for the, I was going to say the minor league teams, the wild card teams. You know, maybe cutting back to the old school day of 154, and then incorporating almost a small little tourney for wild card teams, because sometimes we do get an effect where, you know, there could be six, seven teams that all have similar records, but, you know, only three of them get in, or, you know, things like that. So I think in that wild card round, you could be a little bit more competitive where those guys battle it out over a couple of days, and then they, you know, get the opportunity to go play against the, you know, the division winners and whatnot. So I think there's ways of doing it, but if I'm a player, I just don't see the rush of trying to get this all passed through when we still have a deal to conduct over the off season that could, you know, be a better, suit everyone better, both sides. Is that enough of me rambling on, though?
No, you can keep going if you want. That's fine. So, yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously, I understand why the owners are looking to expand the playoffs, because more playoff games mean more money. And, you know, anybody who owns a major league team right now is looking to recoup as much of that money as they lost last year. And it seems like for whatever reason, they want to do it all this year. I don't know what the rush is to get these rules in when I know you and I both believe we're going to have the universal DH in the new collective bargaining agreement. I don't know if we'll expanded playoffs. I think it would be incredibly stupid if they did that. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, you know, you and I know the rules, right? Cash rules everything around me. So, you know, when you start looking at it, if the owners are going to make more money and the players are going to make more money, and the television networks are willing to go for it, we're going to get expanded playoffs. And all that's going to do is cheapen the game, because winning your division will mean nothing. You know, it'll just be the importance of getting in. I don't believe, you know, you can't give a team a bye like the NFL, where they get the week off and they're used to having the week off. Because if you give a baseball team a week off, they could be sitting around for 3 or 4 days. And even though they're the best team, it's just not fair. And they come in not so much rusty, but maybe not prepared, or however that works out. So it's a difficult situation. And I thought they had a good deal with the way they've got it set up now. But again, you know, the owners are looking for that cash, and you know, this is how they're going to try to get it. So we'll see eventually what goes on. You know, since we're so close to spring training opening, I don't think we're going to get any changes for this year, unless it's very last minute. And I couldn't imagine the players themselves being happy if their, you know, union agrees to something days before they're ready to go to spring training. Mm-hmm. So I'll be a little surprised if they get a pushback date. But, you know, I thought for what we heard about the owner's offer, You know, it sounded okay. I mean, they wanted to play 154, but pay the players for 162, and they wanted the universal DH and the expanded playoffs. Now, again, we don't know anything else that was in it. If you remember last time they made an offer, that offer also included rolling back the money share. So my guess is it was probably in this offer again, and we just don't know about it. So.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the biggest reason where, you know, I feel like because the media might like this, this is where they pin the bad name on the players, you know. Well, the owners, you know, the owners wanted, were gonna offer it, you know, but even that, I mean, let's, like you said, what's the rush? But I mean, I just feel like with the DH, there shouldn't even be any kind of, it should just be its own separate thing. I mean, you got to put deals together, and that's how they work them. You give me this, I give you that. I take this, you take that. I take this away, and you take that away. But I mean, the DH, just let's get it over with. I mean, I don't know. Just get it over with. There's a lot of us that aren't super excited about it, you and I, but we'll adjust. And, you know, all those guys in the Facebook groups and Twitter and all across social media that when that day happens, will post to social media that they're never going to watch, you know, their National League team again. If you're ruining the game, this is stupid. Well, I feel like get your head out of your ass. Because it's a different game today. It's, you know, the DH, universal DH isn't just about the pitchers not having the talent, so to speak, to be hitters. It just makes no sense. Go to a minor league game. You know, Big Jack and I went to a minor league game to go watch Kyle Schwarber catch and hit the ball. And the minor league team was playing the Cardinals minor league team. And all we had was DHs. So I'm sorry, but if a pitcher who generally has, you know, coming into the game at maybe 18 or 19, even 20, might not make it to the majors until they're 24, 25, 26. So when you have this young man down in the minor leagues from the time he's, you know, let's just go with an average of 19 through 26 for 4 or 5 years. And he's not taking BP. He's not doing any of that. He's just focusing on pitching. Why the hell would I want him to debut with my team and be the ninth man in the lineup? This kid hasn't hit or batted, you know, did batting practice for 5 years, and now I'm expecting him to contribute on that portion of the game just by doing some swings in the cages, you know, or in Arizona, Florida, whatever. You know, not only that, but at this point of the game, why would I want my $35 million a year pitcher standing at the plate who could potentially get beamed for an unwritten rule, you know, because he sneezed and then threw the ball. You know what I mean? So and a lot of injuries for players come out of the box. You know, yes, there's everything else, anything else can happen. But I'm sure you've seen this too, Big Jack. There's obviously we don't have the data or anything like that, but from my eye, I see a significant amount of hamstring pulls, just issues come when you're running out of the box. And you know, they've kind of transitioned pitchers out of shagging balls because they don't, you know, because of Rivera. So you kind of don't have them doing that as much. I'm moving towards, I don't want him running out of the box and messing up his ankle, twisting an ankle, you know, hitting the ball off his ankle, getting hit by a pitch at 100 miles an hour, you know, for retaliation because he accidentally hit, you know, the star. He wasn't trying to hit Bryce Harper, but he did. You know, so I just think for the sake of the game and just the way the game is played today, the contracts, the money, the DH is just, it has to be. You know, it really makes no sense to have the pitcher behind coming up to the batter's box anymore.
You know, unfortunately, you know, while I hate it makes sense now. You know, before, like you mentioned, pitchers used to hit in the minors, and while there are guys who still work on it, you know, I mean, obviously Madison Bumgarner can swing the bat. You know, Michael Lorenzen is so good at swinging the bat for the Reds that they're going to find ways to get his bat in the lineup. You know, you know, obviously there have been other guys who have had success and swung the bat really well, but you know, those guys are just few and far between, and it's just, you know, it's almost an embarrassment now to watch a pitcher come up to bat just because they're clueless. I mean, if they're lucky, they take batting practice once a week. So, you know, it's just, you know, unfortunately, it's time to move on and, you know, let the DH take over, and you know, we'll just you know, again, it's, you know, something I don't like, but it's just something I'm gonna have to deal with. It's just how, you know, how it's gonna work out when this new CBA comes through. I mean, I would be shocked if that somehow isn't involved when it's all said and done, but you know, we'll see what they work out. I just hope, and what I'm worried about, Dan, and I would love to get your thoughts here, are both of these sides, the owners and the players union, smart enough to realize that this would be the absolute wrong time in history for the game to have a work stoppage, or do you think they're just that stupid?
I don't think they're that crazy. I mean, like you said, this part of history, and you need to continue to generate revenue when you're the owners, and you need to continue to build your legacy as a player. So I think if there is a work stoppage, it would be, I think it would be worse than what happened in '94. Because you know, and it's two factors. I really think it's just, like you said, the way of the world today. You know, we got kind of used to not seeing baseball last year, so you start taking a casual fan of it. Well, you know, now they play a season, now they're on strike. You know, I'm not watching these rich crybabies cry about their money. I'm still trying to make up for those, you know, that 6 months I was off of work in 2020, or you know, whatever. And then with the NHL and the NBA set up the way they are, I mean, obviously we don't know if they're going to continue that way, but that overlap. So if baseball isn't around, the hockey and basketball are going to pick up those people, you know, kind of take over. And then, you know, once those sports end, I'm assuming they're looking to end in the summer sometime, but you know, hopefully things are shaped up, and you know, with the way that we've been all locked up, there's no baseball at night in the summer. It might not be such a bad thing because, you know, we want to get out of the house. So I don't know. Like you said, if they do a work stoppage, I think it'll hurt the game.
So yeah, you know, my fear is just that they're, you know, too stubborn and too stupid to realize, you know, what people are still going through. So, but we'll, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they have people around them that understand, you know, what it's actually like in the real world, and not, you know, people who make millions and billions of dollars a year. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But you know, as of now, spring training is going to roll along as planned, and you know, we'll see what's at the end of the month that pitchers and catchers are supposed to start to report.
Not even in like 2 weeks, unless they pushed it back.
Yeah, no, is it 2 weeks already? I forget, you know, because I know obviously pitchers and catchers get there first. So
yeah, I think it's usually around, you know, Valentine's, President's Day, and then the rest of the crew show up at the end of the month.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye out and see what they do. But, you know, Dan, with things being so close, we got a boatload of signings, and obviously, you know, you and I don't have time to sit here and break everything down because we're only, you know, we're only here for an hour a day. But I'll run down who was signed where, and then we can go over, you know, obviously what has looked like as some of the bigger names here. You know, we'll start off, you know, I think it was a day or two ago, your guy Kiki Hernandez signed a deal with the Boston Red Sox. Sean Doolittle agreed to join the Cincinnati Reds. Chris Archer is going back to the Tampa Bay Rays. Your guy Garrett Richards has officially signed with the Red Sox. They had to work out some things in the contract. Gerardo Parra is coming back to the Nationals after spending last year in Japan. Joaquin Soria agreed to a one-year deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Chase Anderson agreed to join the Phillies on a one-year deal. And Francisco Liriano has signed with the Toronto Blue Jays on another one-year deal. We did have a trade. Alex Cobb is going from Baltimore to Anaheim, where he'll join the Los Angeles Angels. The Orioles are getting a low-level minor league infielder in return. And then the bigger, the three biggest of these signings, Dan, we had Colton Wong joining the Brewers. He got 2 years at $18 million with an option for a third. And then the Twins made two pretty good signings. They're bringing back Nelson Cruz on a one-year, I believe I saw it's a $13 million deal. And then this one just announced about 10 minutes ago. The Twins have also signed Alex Colome to a one-year deal, and he'll probably make about $6.25 million. It's unclear if he'll be the closer there, but he was really good in that role for the White Sox last year. So, with the Twins?
With the Twins, ooh.
So what are you liking there? What aren't you liking? Are you surprised by anything? You know, I know it's a lot to try to remember, but if it's just the last thing we talk about, that's fine. How did you feel there?
I like the Colome. I mean, it means that the Twins aren't just going to let the White Sox take the division. I mean, you know, the Indians somehow always seem to be in the mix, but I just feel like what the White Sox have going on, the Twins stole that away from them, and well, they technically didn't because they did sign their closer. this is just kind of, I think, the Twins' response that they're not going away, and that they're not going to just let the White Sox take this division. I mean, I still think it's a pretty weak division, and I think you're looking at the two major players, you know, the Twins and the White Sox right now. And then the Twins did re-sign DH, Nelson Cruz. So,
yes.
You know, shoring up that batting lineup. I think they're showing, you know, the city, the Twin Cities, as I stutter, showing the Twin Cities that they are going to compete and they want to win. So, and I think they're showing that definitely to the Centrals, or, well, let's be honest, just to the White Sox. So I think they might have a good little rivalry going this season to watch these two teams kind of fight it out and see who actually wins the division. I just hope between these two teams that, you know, if it is them first and second place, that it's a strong close and not, you know, 89 and I don't know, you know, just a couple games over 500.
So. Like the NL Central's probably going to be, with the exception of the Cardinals now. What you know, and when I mentioned Colomé was good last year, he only blew one save. He was 12 out of 13, and his ERA was 0.81 for the White Sox last year. So, you know, while he's not one of these guys who comes in throwing 100,
mm-hmm.
he knows how to get guys out, and it works for him. And it'll be interesting to see how the Twins handle the back end of that bullpen, because it looked like until this signing, Taylor Rogers was going to handle the closing duties, and that's something he's never done full time. So we'll see how that works out. But don't forget the Twins also added Andrelton Simmons last week, so they've put together a nice pretty solid everyday lineup. I do question their starting rotation a little, because you're looking at Jose Berrios, Kenta Maeda, Michael Pineda, J.A. Hop, and Randy Dobnik. You know, Pineda and Hop have both been beat up the last couple of years. Pineda missed an entire season. And this will be Dobnik's first year as a full-time starter. So, we'll see how that goes. But, they can still add pieces. It's not like we don't have time for them to still go out and sign, somebody else. And there are some reports that they're interested in bringing in one more reliever. So we'll see if they do that.
You need multiple relievers in this game. So.
Yeah. And, we say it, I think just about every time we talk baseball, the one thing we always say is every team needs bullpen help. So, but I know like the Twins were looking at Soria before he signed with the Diamondbacks. There's also been reports that they've contacted Mark Melancon, Shane Green, Trevor Rosenthal, and Justin Williams, just to kind of gauge the price on what they're asking for. So it's definitely possible we could see them sign one of those, or maybe even two of those players, depending on what kind of dollar amount they're looking for.
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz is obviously, the big time power hitter. He's going to be 41. But that hasn't seemed to slow down the bat. He'll plug right back into the middle of that Twins lineup in DH. So, the question is, does he hit three or four behind Josh Donaldson, or does he hit three behind Josh Donaldson, depending on where they decide they're going to hit Donaldson? So, because in today's game, that guy seems to hit number two. But, it makes for an interesting lineup, and they definitely should compete with the White Sox. And then the Brewers signing here, Dan, I was a little surprised, because the Brewers have Keston Hiru, who I thought was going to be the everyday second baseman. But looking at their depth chart now, it looks like with the signing of Wong, Hiro will move over to first base. I don't know if that's something he's played before, but, apparently he's going to give that a shot. I guess at 24, going to be 25 soon, he can easily learn a new position. But are you a little more surprised, not only that, Wong comes in and immediately bumps he was their top prospect last year, and that the Brewers are actually going to pay a guy what they're paying Wong?
I'm more surprised by that. Big time. I mean, he played very well in St. Louis, and I think he's going to do great for the Brewers. So I'm not surprised. I'm just a little bit more surprised by the money, but that's one of those things. They put all that effort, time, money into the outfielder. I can't think of his name.
Christian
Big Jack,
Yelich.
That's where you come in. Yeah, Christian Yelich. They put all that money into a former Marlin. So, I mean, you got to pay up or shut up. And, I mean, what's the point of – yeah, you don't want to be that team that just has your one superstar and then you ride out that wave and hope you don't draw more Cub fans than Brewer fans, which, you know, I don't think that'll be an issue this year. But I don't know, you've got to spend it to kind of win it. And I think he'll be a great addition up the front or up the middle. And he always seems to just be a great option there. So, and their other guy can play part-time or flip-flop, can't he?
Yeah, I'm sure, if he needs to take a day at second, he'll be okay. But they're going to want his bat in the lineup every day because he's probably the cleanup hitter. But don't forget, they'll also get Lorenzo Cain back. Remember, he opted out last year.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know he's got 2 years left at $35 million on his deal. They signed Christian Yelich for 9 years, so he's going to be there a while. And they brought Avisail Garcia back. He's on a $12 million deal. So maybe the fact that Wong isn't over $10 million, kind of helps out. But I really thought if the Brewers were going to add, they were going to add a third baseman, because right now it's looking like Luis Urias is going to be their starting third baseman. So that may be their biggest weakness. I don't know. Let me double check their prospect list while I'm here and see if they have anybody who might be close. No, none of their third basemen are even rated in their top, their top prospects. They do have a shortstop. Their number one prospect is a Bryce Terang. And Dan, the saying, if you can play shortstop, you can play anywhere. So maybe he's an option down the road, but it looks like he's projected to start in Double A. So he may be a year or more away. So I don't know. Do you think maybe they look at a cheap third base option that's still hanging around out there to just kind of cover the, kind of Urias's butt there in case he struggles?
Yeah, who would you be looking at, though?
Well, there are some guys, who could help out. I mean, Asdrubal Cabrera is still out there. Mikhail Franco is available. Jed Jorko, who actually was I think he was a Brewer last year, is available. Jake Lamb, I know he really struggled with the Diamondbacks, but he played much better with Oakland. Travis Shaw is the former Brewer, and I know so is Justin Turner, but they're not going to bring in a guy like Turner. So there are some guys who would probably be willing to come in as, backups or part-time guys that, they could still bring in. Do you see maybe one of those guys landing a spot, especially maybe a lefty, so they could do the left-right thing at third base?
That would kind of be not a bad idea. I mean, I'm looking at MLB trade rumors and, who's left on the list. And, of course, I hate to ageist, but the fact that Mikhail Franco is still out there and not with the Phillies at 28 being the youngest guy on there, I'd be definitely have some interest in kind of seeing how he works out too. But, at the same time, if he's not going to play all that much, with Travis Shaw being on the market too, I mean, you obviously didn't re-sign Travis Shaw. I don't know if it was a money thing or you're just ready to move on from him. So, is there a Shaw equivalent or, someone you're looking to just kind of fill in? Because, I mean, you've got Marwin Gonzalez, Yurko, Brock Holt, Jake Lamb, Joe Panik. I don't know, those, if they're not playing every day, I think they're all, including Mikhail Franco and Cabrera, they're all great options they have to work with. It's just kind of...
Yeah, well, if you bring Shaw in, he can also play first base. So, you would have a corner guy, and I believe he's a switch hitter, and obviously we know he has really good power. He just hasn't succeeded as an everyday guy. You know, so he could be a really interesting option out of the guys on that list. I just, you know, and you can't figure, I think Toronto ended up releasing him last year. So you can't figure he's looking for a big time deal. You may even be able to get him on that, you know, wonderful minor league contract with the invite to spring training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if it just doesn't work out in spring training, you can say, okay, well, hey, thanks for stopping by. You know, I know looking at their bench that's projected for the Brewers, the only infielder on it right now is Daniel Robertson. Well, technically Dan Vogelbach, but you're not going to see Vogelbach at third base. So, you know, maybe Keston Hiru is going to bounce around a little more than we thought. And he's going to be the starting first baseman, but he'll play, you know, he'll spell Wong at second and then Urias, Urias at third, depending on the situation. So, because, yeah, I don't know what else, you know, what else they'll do besides signing somebody. You know, but it will be interesting to see. Now, do you think, you know, the Brewers, with the exception of maybe what we just covered there, could be done? Or do you think they'll finally make the move and trade Josh Hader like we've heard about for, what, a year and a half now, I think? Do you think we'll finally see that happen?
I mean, I think if they were to do it, they'd have to have done it, you know, either wrap it up this weekend. But if that is an option, I think it might be somewhere, you know, closer to the trade deadline or in the summer where they can kind of assess maybe what their needs are and then try to find a team that, you know, needs Hader.
So, yeah, because, you know, I think, you know, all we've heard is, you know, anytime it has to do with the Brewers, there's been talk about them, you know, well, we're, you know, they're shopping Josh Hader. They're shopping Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. And yet he's still there. So I guess they're not very good shoppers because you would think, you know, a pretty good left-handed closer could be moved pretty easily. I guess it's always possible they're asking too much. Do you think that could be the issue?
Yeah, that could be the issue. I mean, what does he have left?
God, what is he? Let's see if I can double check it real quick. I he may have 1 year of arbitration left. Where is no? He's got yeah. He's no. Hader actually has 2 more years of arbitration after this. He's not a free agent till 2024.
Wow.
So, yeah, they, you know, maybe that's why they're asking so much, because he's got a lot of control.
Yeah. So, but I still think it'll be something to happen somewhere in the during the season where they can find a match and actually, you know, get something in return.
So, yeah, you know, obviously we'll just have to kind of wait and see how that kind of, you know, kind of shakes out here. But, you know, again, I just kind of chuckle because it's all you hear. You know, it's like anytime there's a Brewer rumor about trades, it's like, oh, yeah, they're dealing Dot Josh Hader. So, oh, and Dan, I realized I missed one of the other gigantic signings today. I don't know if you saw this one, but the Cubs are bringing back Andrew Chafin on a 1-year deal with an option for next year. That's going to excite you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always appropriate when you don't know what you're doing to just sign a guy for a year, right?
considering I believe they traded for him last year and he was injured and didn't pitch for him, I guess bringing him back, at least they'll get something out of him. So.
Exactly.
You know, and then, you know, the Cubs did add former Pirate Trevor Williams too, Dan, so that starting rotation is rounded out now, you know, and at least until they trade Kyle Hendricks.
And then Chris Bryant.
So you've got to be excited as a Cubs fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Stoked.
So, all right. Well, you know, I got to ask you, Dan, how's your Super Bowl hype going? Are you, you know, obviously not being the biggest football guy, are you interested? You know, I mean, I'm sure you'll probably watch at least some of the game, but how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Super Bowl of all, I think, is probably one of the most exciting, or maybe not so exciting, but I think – one of the, you know, the storyline behind it is just pretty amazing in itself. You couldn't have built it better. I mean, you've got pretty much the, I guess he's not, but, you know, the youngest quarterback in the NFL that's made it to the Super Bowl, so I can say myself with that one, versus the oldest quarterback in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think this is a pretty cool storyline. You know, you've got two guys that are going up for – there's, you know, obviously this year's Super Bowl, but I think for both sides of the coin, it just cements their legacy. You know, I mean, Tom Brady to have seven rings is amazing in itself. And, but at the same time, you know, this is one of those, when you're not a fan of the Bucks and the Chiefs and you're not a Tom Brady hater, you're literally stuck in the middle, not knowing who to really, you know, root for. I mean, for me as a kid, my best friend, you know, was a Raiders fan. So, you know, what I became a fan of was the Chiefs. So, you know, and Derek Thomas, I got to see him, you know, those couple times when they were national. So that was my guy growing up. Well, obviously my friend had the Raiders and Bo Jackson, and, you know, Derek Thomas was always going to take him out. That was the whole, you know, kind of fight between us. So I've got that for me, but when you think about it, I mean, both sides of this, both stories are great. You know, Patrick Mahomes, if he were to come in, win his first Super Bowl, sign that huge deal, you know, do everything he's doing off, you know, off the field too, and then to come back in for, you know, second straight Super Bowl and then to win it. I mean, I think it would help cement his legacy a little better, and I don't know, it's kind of hard. I know, I guess I'd ask you, hey, well, let me finish. My interest is definitely there. I'm telling my wife, you know, it's Super Bowl. We're watching it. So if you don't want to, then I'm going downstairs or you can go back upstairs, whichever. I think it's going to be a good one. I think, like I said, if you're a fan of one or both these teams, if you hate Tom Brady, if you're just a casual football fan, I think this is one of the best Super Bowls to, like, be a part, you know, be able to just take in. But, you know, what are your thoughts? Because you're the Seattle guy. You've got your base in Chicago, but we both know why we're not super big Bears fans. But, you know, what are your thoughts? Are you kind of in that same boat?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in all honesty, I think the NFL got the best game they could possibly get. You know, you get all the play with, you know, Tom Brady being the greatest of all time and Patrick Mahomes being the guy looking to succeed him as that, you know, that next great, you know, quarterback in the NFL and the guy who can take his team to Super Bowl after Super Bowl. So it's, you know, I mean, it's just a fantastic storyline. So I don't think they could have asked for anything better. I mean, you know, obviously I'm going to watch the game. I actually already took Monday off work. I scheduled it off so I could stay up for the entire game. You know, otherwise I would have to give up about, you know, probably halftime, because I don't think kickoff is till 5:30 or 6 o'clock. So, you know, that makes it would make it incredibly rough for me to stay up that late. And then, of course, you know, you want to watch all the you know, all the stuff afterwards to see who's going to get the MVP and all those other fun things. But yeah, I honestly, it could have ended better for the NFL at this point. I really don't. I don't know what better matchup they could have had. So.
Now, will you be joining any of the the gambling sites and doing some prop bets this weekend, or?
No, you know, I'm not so much into that. You know, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. While some of them are fun, you know, like obviously it's, you know, hey, what's the coin toss going to be, or, you know, what's the first song that I think The Weeknd is doing the halftime show, you know, what song is he going to open with? You know, those are kind of fun. I'm just, you know, with the exception of the daily fantasy I occasionally do on FanDuel for a buck here or there, I'm not a gambler. It doesn't appeal to me. So I won't be partaking. Will you be, you know, I know you signed up to look into that one site. Are you going to partake and bet your hard earned money, or will your wife kill you if you do something like that?
No, I mean, I probably still have a balance from, you know, what they give you when you first sign up, to be honest with you. So I gave up on that. I don't know. I think obviously for you and I, it's too late. But maybe that's something we incorporate, just a fun little game between us and Schomburg's too, and maybe Mr. Fantasy. You know, where we kind of just make our picks on prop bets, you know, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
You know, and if we beat up on Stu, maybe he'll have to buy us something. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, maybe it's something, you know, kind of fun we could do, you know, between us and then, you know, anybody who's listening wants to join in the fun. I think that would be something we should maybe try next year. But, no, I won't be logging in, doing any of that stuff. I wasn't even... Yeah, I don't know the first thing about gambling, so I really wasn't that good at it.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, like, they have, you know, the, of course, you know, who's going to be the MVP you can bet on, you know, and I honestly, you know, with the way betting, or with the way the Super Bowl goes, basically you just got to pick the quarterback of the team that you think is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're, you know, they're obviously, you know, and you can bet on, you know, how many rushes a running back is going to get, or, you know, how many receiving yards a guy is going to get. There are just, you know, so many, you know, things that you can, you know, you can bet on, you know, who's going to score the first touchdown. You know, what, you know, will the first score be a field goal? It's so out there with some of them that, you know, and if, you know, and if you bet right and you happen to have some good luck, you know, you could land, you know, a good winning. So, you know, but like, I think the line right now is the Chiefs are favorite by 3.5. So, you know, I won't be surprised if there's a lot of money coming in on Tampa Bay and taking that number, because everybody seems to think it's going to be a close game.
Well, I mean, it can only go one of two ways, right?
Yeah, well, you know, which is, you know, you always hope you get a good game. You know, obviously,
yeah.
I mean, that's what, you know, we're all, you know, we're all rooting for. So, you know, and again, we'll see. You know, I mean, obviously there's concern the Chiefs are going to be without two of their starting offensive linemen. And, you know, Tampa Bay has a very good pass rush. You know, and then for, you know, for whatever reason, it's very difficult to repeat in the NFL right now for what, you know, whatever reason it is. It just seems to be, you know, tough to do. I think it's probably even more difficult than repeating as, you know, World Series or Stanley Cup winners.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to think off the top of my head who the last back-to-back winners were. You know what? Did New England win back-to-back there in? Or did they? No, they lost to the Eagles. They got there 3 years in a row, and then they lost the middle game to the Eagles. That's right. So yeah, I don't think there's been a back-to-back winner since New England did it in 2004 and 2005. So for whatever reason, it's very difficult to do in the NFL. You know, but Kansas City has a chance. So we'll see if, you know, if they can pull it out. But, you know, that'll probably also bring a lot of gambling, you know, money New England's way just because of that. I mean, those are, you know what, it's been 15, 16 years. Or actually 18 years. So 17 or 18 years. So, you know, we'll just have to see. So if you were betting, would you take New England in the points?
New England.
Or not New England. Well, Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady's playing, so it's New England. Tampa Bay in the points?
Yeah, I kind of think I would go with Tampa. It just seems like the one that would work out the best. But you know what that means.
Yeah, so that means Kansas City's going to win. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, like, I know everybody I talk to at work, you know, there's three or four people who actually will talk to me. Not very many, but a couple. They're all going with Tampa Bay. So they seem to be the pick. So, you know,
now you got people agreeing with me, so now I feel even worse.
There you go.
I don't
know. You know,
for
our listeners, Schomburg will make his pick on Friday. So.
Okay. I bet you he goes with Kansas City, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been making him pick the winner and then betting the line. So, you know, he did really well with football. He was 11-5, but I made him do the Bulls and the Blackhawks game last weekend, and he lost both. So,
Blackhawks have been off the wall. You know, one day they're just getting creamed, and then the next night I'm like, they're down 2-0 in the first. I ain't watching this anymore. And then I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden so I'm like, I guess I can't give up on these guys. It's just hard when you don't know the team as much anymore, you know? Plus, I actually got my daughter into watching the Bulls for some reason. Because the Bulls app, you could play, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts race, some of the stuff they do at the stadium in the app. So, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say you got in the Winnipeg Jets, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did want to ask you before we run too far away from the NFL, you know, they had the big trade there at the end of last week. You know, the Los Angeles Rams get Matthew Stafford, and the Lions get Jared Goff, two first-round picks, and a third-round pick. To me, that seemed like an awfully lot to get Matthew Stafford. And then it made me wonder, Dan, if the Houston Texans decide to trade Deshaun Watson, what are they going to get for him? Because I think he's 10 or 12 years younger than Stafford. Stafford has 2 years on his deal, and I think Watson has four. So if you're interested, you know, like we mentioned the Bears being interested in Deshaun Watson, you got to give up four first-round picks or five draft picks? Or what are you looking at?
Probably three. So hard. You're giving up a boatload, though. So, I mean, essentially what you're saying is, you know, for the local guys, us in Chicago, would the Bears have enough to acquire Watson?
Yeah, you know, and you know, because you figure, what are they? I think I forgot where they're picking this, you know, this year. But yeah, you would be looking at giving up, you know, 4 years worth of number one picks, and then probably, you know, even more, you know, draft picks. And especially if you're a team like the Bears that don't have a quarterback to send back, you know, they're gonna want a little more from you. So I just don't know if, you know, because, you know, like the Bears are drafting 20th this year since they made the playoffs. You know, and obviously Houston would get a decent player there, but they wouldn't get a quarterback. They probably wouldn't get a franchise quarterback. So, again, it's kind of like, are you close enough to win to give up that many years of first rounders? And I don't know if the Bears fit that bill, do you?
No.
So, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay. You know, yeah, I mean, the minute the trade happened, I was like, holy crap, what's that going to cost everybody else? and obviously there's talk now that the Texans don't want to give up Watson, so that may be a gigantic stalemate, and we'll have to see how that goes. But that's cool.
How much control would Deshaun have over that? Because I just don't see why they'd want to give him up, and I don't see how J.J. Watt would, you know, feel about it too. But like you said, we're getting close to the time, and I just wanted to, you know, let everyone know we opened up our Yahoo Baseball Leagues. We don't have many spots available this year. Big Jack, unless you want to take a look again at the Snake League. We didn't have such a great season last year, you or I. So,
it was a tough season, so I'm off. So
yeah, you know, so there was just one player in the Snake League who did not participate last year, so I removed him. And in our auction league, and you know, you'll see these shared onto the Twitter and the Facebook page shortly or sometime today or tomorrow if you want to sign up. But we have three so far that are open in the auction league. Not everybody's logged in yet, so we'll see if some of the other ones do continue to play. I think we actually started a thread, and we have about half the league that's in so far, so kind of exciting. And then I'm creating a home run only league, trying to figure out how to make it a cash league, though, Big Jack. So I don't
just
know if you're interested in that.
Just
but...
you go in and delete those guys after you eliminate them, otherwise new invites can't sign up.
Oh, I already deleted them.
We'll be back here tomorrow for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. But while we're gone, you know what you should do? Go to Sports Time Radio.com, get over there and check the new blog out. While you're there, the link will take you over to the Facebook page. Just come by the link, you've got a like. Don't forget we have the Twitter feed, though, which is at Sports Time Radio. Just sit on the screen and I have my Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. And I have to stop by and listen to my
advertising. Thank you.